Welcome to this deep dive. I'm Ron, and you are listening to The Legal Marketing Playbook from Forward Push Law Firm Marketing.
And I'm Sandy. It is really great to be here for this one.
Yeah, we have a fantastic topic today. I want you to do a quick thought experiment right now, or honestly, better yet, do it in real time if you aren't driving.
Please keep your eyes on the road if you are.
Exactly. But if you're at a desk, open ChatGPT and type in, who is the best personal injury attorney in my city? Or, you know, family law attorney or criminal defense, whatever your specific practice area happens to be, and just take a really good look at the names that pop up.
That is always such a high-stakes moment for a managing partner, right? Just waiting to see if their firm actually made that list.
Oh, absolutely. And if your competitor's name appears there and yours does not, the natural instinct, especially in the legal field, is to get incredibly cynical.
Oh, for sure. You instantly assume they must have this massive marketing budget.
Right. You assume they are paying for that placement and that this whole AI recommendation system is just completely tilted against smaller firms. But our mission for this deep dive is to unpack the actual reality behind that screen.
Because it's not what most people think.
It's not at all. We are going to look at exactly why that competitor is showing up instead of you and how you can systematically close that gap. And the insights we are walking through today are drawn directly from a really fascinating article over on the Forward Push Law Firm Marketing website.
Which is such a critical resource right now, honestly, because the landscape of how prospective clients find legal representation isn't just shifting, it has fundamentally fractured.
Yeah, the old playbook is completely losing its grip. But before we get into the mechanical weeds of how this all works, we have to address that cynical elephant in the room, because the assumption is always about money.
Always.
So, are these AI tools just pay to play? Can a firm just cut a massive check to OpenAI or Google and guarantee the top spot in those AI overviews?
No, and we should put a pin in that immediately.
I'm glad you said that so clearly.
Yeah, I mean, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Google's AI overviews, none of these platforms currently have paid tiers for attorney recommendations.
None at all.
Right. The firms that are appearing in those results have earned those positions organically. It's based entirely on the architecture and depth of their digital presence. There is simply no shortcut where you just buy the placement.
I'd argue that is either incredibly frustrating or very encouraging, depending on your perspective.
Well, it's frustrating because the sweat equity required to earn that spot is really substantial.
Exactly. But it is deeply encouraging because it means the game isn't rigged. The gap is entirely closable if you understand the actual mechanics of the system. So if money isn't buying these top spots, we need to understand what the AI is actually doing when a prospective client searches for a lawyer.
Which means we have to stop thinking of these tools as traditional search engines.
Yes, that is the mental hurdle that most firms trip over. A traditional search engine is basically a retrieval system for links, right? It's heavily influenced by keywords.
Yeah.
But an AI tool is a prediction system.
That's a huge distinction.
Let's break that down for the listener. What does a prediction system actually mean in the context of recommending a lawyer?
So when a user asks an AI to recommend the best local attorney, the model is essentially using its training data to mathematically predict which attorney is the most statistically sound right answer.
Okay, so it's calculating probability.
Exactly. It's looking at a massive web of data. For local businesses, and especially local attorneys, the AI is looking for earned, verifiable signals of credibility, authority, and relevance. It wants to make a safe bet.
So it's not about stuffing a homepage with the phrase car accident lawyer 50 times in invisible text.
Oh, far from it. AI doesn't care about keyword density at all. It cares about contextual authority.
Let's use an analogy here because I think it helps visualize this. I like to think of the AI as this hyper nerdy, incredibly well-read, but deeply skeptical librarian.
I love that image.
Right. You walk up to the reference desk and ask for the definitive book on a legal topic. That librarian isn't going to recommend a book just because the author slipped them a $20 bill.
They'd probably be insulted.
Totally. They are only going to recommend a book if they have seen it cited, referenced, reviewed, and corroborated by 50 other trusted sources. They demand undeniable proof that it's the authoritative text before they put their own reputation on the line to recommend it to you.
But that metaphor raises a pretty crucial question for the legal field. If we're talking about a highly specialized, nuanced profession like law, how does this AI librarian actually judge your authority?
That is the big question.
Because the AI hasn't passed the bar exam. It can't read a brief and evaluate your actual courtroom strategy. So what specific tangible signals is it actually using to make this mathematical prediction?
That is the multi-million dollar question. If the AI can't evaluate your actual legal acumen, it has to rely entirely on digital proxies for excellence. And according to that article from the Forward Push Law Firm marketing website, there are four core signals the AI uses.
So to prove your authority to that skeptical AI, you have to provide the right reading material.
Exactly. Which brings us to the first component, the content engine. Specifically, we are looking at signal 1, content depth, and signal 4, answer for structure.
The literal architecture of the firm's website.
Which makes sense. But what does architecture actually mean to an AI? Let's look at depth first. Imagine two competing law firms. Firm A has a basic digital brochure.
Like a homepage and about us bio.
Right, and maybe three generic practice area pages that basically just say, we handle slip and falls, call us for a free consultation. Now look at Firm B. Firm B has 40 pieces of deeply specific jurisdiction-focused content.
Wow, 40 pieces.
Yeah, and they are covering every conceivable question a prospective client might ask in that specific county.
Questions like, what is the statute of limitations for a slip and fall in Cook County? Or how does comparative negligence affect a settlement in our state?
Exactly. And from a mathematical standpoint, more of that specific content literally equals more citations, more semantic relationships, and more evidence for the AI.
Because the AI just has a wider surface area of data to verify that Firm B is the actual authoritative source in that specific geographic market.
Spot on. If your site is essentially just a digital business card, the AI physically lacks the data to make a confident prediction about your expertise.
It just doesn't have enough to go on.
Right. But depth is only half the battle. You could have 100 pages of text, but if it's built wrong, the AI just ignores it. And that brings us to signal 4. Answer first structure.
What does that look like in practice?
The AI heavily prefers clear FAQ sections. It likes headers that are explicitly phrased as the user's question, with the most critical information appearing immediately below that header. It wants direct, specific, plain language answers.
And this is where we run into a massive psychological barrier for lawyers.
Oh, it is the ultimate ego clash.
Yeah.
There is a hilarious irony here for anyone listening who has survived law school. Lawyers spend 3 years being trained to write these incredibly dense, abstract, academic arguments.
You learn to write multi-page paragraphs full of, you know, heretofore and res ipsa loquitur and all these complex conditional clauses.
Exactly. So the natural pushback I hear from managing partners all the time is, wait, if I use this plain language and simple FAQ structure, doesn't that hurt my firm's professional prestige?
They think it sounds too simplistic.
Right. They ask, shouldn't my website read like a Supreme Court brief to show prospective clients how brilliant we are? Is a valid fear. They don't want to dumb down their life's work.
But we have to look at the technical mechanism of how AI actually parses text.
Exactly. When a large language model, or LLM, scrapes a page, it is fundamentally measuring the semantic distance between the user's prompt and your answer. Natural language processing is looking for clear, adjacent relationships.
So if a user asks, how long do I have to sue for a car crash? The AI is scanning for a direct, mathematically adjacent answer.
Yes. If your answer is buried beneath 6 paragraphs of dense legal history regarding tort law, the mathematical connection breaks down.
The AI physically cannot connect the user's simple prompt to your buried expertise.
Direct, specific content formatted as a clear question and answer is the exact blueprint these tools were trained on. They are built to extract the path of least resistance to the clearest answer. If you obscure that answer in academic prose, you simply don't get cited.
So, swallowing the ego, prioritizing clarity, and building that deep content is step 1.
Right. But here is the catch with just having a great website. An AI isn't going to just take your word for it that you're the best.
Right, because anyone can say they're the best on their own website.
Exactly. If your website says you are an amazing, award-winning attorney, but you don't exist anywhere else on the internet, the AI gets suspicious. It needs corroboration. And that brings us to signal 2, cross-platform entity consistency.
The AI needs to verify that this entity actually exists and operates in the real world exactly as it claims to on its website.
Which introduces the concept of a thin entity versus a strong entity. A thin entity is a law firm that exists almost exclusively on its own domain. Maybe they have a neglected Facebook page they haven't posted on since 2018, but that's it.
And because their digital footprint is so narrow, the AI has incredibly low confidence in them.
There is no external validation. A strong entity, however, appears consistently across a wide constellation of platforms.
We are talking about a fully optimized Google Business Profile, active profiles on legal directories like Avvo, Martindale, Hubble, Justa.
Yes, and accurate state bar listings, perhaps a YouTube channel, and local press mentions. Think of your law firm's digital presence as a constellation of data points in a knowledge graph.
I like that.
The AI is looking up at the digital sky, trying to draw a clear shape of who you are and where you operate, just like an alibi in a trial.
Right? Oh, that's a great comparison.
If only the defendant says they are innocent, it's a weak case. If 10 independent, unrelated witnesses corroborate the exact same story, the jury, or in this case the AI, believes it.
Yeah.
But here is where firms completely sabotage themselves.
Let me guess. Is just having a profile enough?
No. It isn't just about having these profiles. It is about absolute, rigid consistency.
The operational friction here is real, though. A lot of attorneys will set up an Avvo profile 5 years ago, move offices, and completely forget to update it.
And that completely breaks the AI's prediction model. If your website says your office is in Suite 200, but your Justia profile says Suite 20, and your Google Business profile still lists your old address across town.
Those stars in the constellation just don't align.
They don't. The AI can't draw a clear shape. You are presenting conflicting data points. When an AI receives conflicting data regarding an entity's core facts, its confidence score plummets.
It's essentially a logic puzzle for the AI. If the inputs don't match, the output is withheld.
And when its confidence drops, it abandons you and recommends the competitor whose data is perfectly aligned. So you have to clean up the constellation.
Okay, so we have the deep, plain language content on the website. We have the cross-platform directories perfectly aligned, confirming the firm exists.
Right, but there is one final, incredibly heavily weighted signal the AI needs before it hands over a recommendation. And this is signal 3, social proof from actual human beings. The reviews.
Ah, reviews. AI tools evaluating local business data treat reviews almost identically to how Google's local algorithm treats them.
Yes, they are analyzing two specific metrics, volume and recency.
Let's dig into the recency aspect, because volume is pretty obvious, more is better. But why does the AI care so much about when the review was posted?
Because the AI is trying to solve the user's problem today. If a prospective client is asking for the best attorney right now, a 5-star review from 2019 doesn't prove you were still competent or even still practicing law in 2026.
That makes total sense. Recency is the primary signal of current operational excellence.
Exactly. A firm with 180 recent reviews at a high average rating is an infinitely safer prediction candidate than a firm with 22 stellar reviews from 3 years ago.
But we have to acknowledge the reality of running a firm here. Asking for reviews is a massive, uncomfortable pain point for most lawyers.
Oh, it really is. You win a hard-fought settlement, the client is thrilled, and then the attorney feels gross, pivoting to, hey, could you leave me 5 stars on Google?
It feels very transactional.
It does. So the temptation for managing partners is always to try and hack the system to bypass that awkwardness.
You mean the iPad and the lobby strategy?
Exactly. The pushback I always get is, listen, if volume is the goal, can't a firm just hack this by setting up an iPad kiosk in the lobby or running an automated script to blast past that 22 review mark?
The article from Forward Push Law for Marketing issues a very severe warning about this, though.
A completely zero tolerance warning. No automated scripts that violate terms of service and absolutely no lobby kiosks. You cannot try to game this system because the algorithms are incredibly sophisticated at detecting unnatural review patterns.
Yeah, let's look at the mechanics of why the iPad fails.
Sure. If 50 reviews suddenly pop up over a month, and the AI notes that every single one of those reviews originated from the exact same IP address, which is your lobby Wi-Fi router, it flags them as a cluster anomaly.
It assumes they are fake or coerced.
Right. Google filters them out, and the AI models that scrape that local data immediately downgrade your entity's trust score. You can actually penalize your entire digital footprint trying to take a shortcut.
So it must be a simple, genuine follow-up system.
It has to be. You have to invite satisfied clients to share their experiences naturally from their own devices, on their own cellular data, on their own time. It is slower, yes, but it's mathematically secure.
Which highlights the underlying theme of all these signals. This just takes time.
And that concept of time brings us perfectly to the core issue. We've mapped the anatomy of a perfect AI recommendation, right?
Content, depth, clear answer first structure, entity consistency and a steady stream of recent reviews.
Exactly. But knowing this doesn't explain why that competitor from our initial ChatGPT search looks so untouchable right now. Why are they dominating the results today?
Because they started building this infrastructure earlier.
That is the most uncomfortable truth about AI search visibility. Digital authority compounds over time. AI tools develop historical patterns about which sources to trust based on repeated, verified exposure.
Right. If your competitor has been consistently publishing authoritative, jurisdiction-specific content for 18 months, their data has been scraped, indexed, and cross-referenced thousands of times.
They have built an entirely different mathematical authority profile than a firm that just panicked yesterday and published 10 articles. The longer you wait, the wider the gap gets.
It's essentially the exact same mechanism as compound interest, just applied to digital authority.
That's a perfect analogy.
Mm-hmm.
If you start investing in an index fund at 25 versus 45, the math looks entirely different at retirement because of compounding growth.
6 months of consistent digital marketing work yields substantially more than 6 isolated months of effort scattered over a few years.
Because every new piece of content, every newly aligned directory, every new review builds upon the foundational authority of the previous one.
So for the lawyer listening to this right now who hasn't started, panic is definitely setting in.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
The question is, are they already too late to catch up?
I completely understand the panic, but the answer is a definitive no. The gap is absolutely closable. But the longer you wait, the steeper the climb. The work has to begin today. Fortunately, the Source article lays out a very practical 5-step roadmap to actually fix this.
Let's synthesize how a firm actually executes this while still, you know, practicing law.
Right, because time is always the issue.
Yeah.
Step one has to be an audit. Search yourself on ChatGPT, Perplexity, and Google's AI overviews, and compare your presence, content structure, and reviews to competitors.
You literally do what we talked about at the beginning of the deep dive. Look at their website architecture. How many articles do they have? Do they use plain language FAQs?
Exactly. The gap between their presence and your presence isn't some mystical algorithmic secret. It is literally a visible roadmap of the data points you lack.
Once the gap is quantified, the operational work begins. Step two is building that depth.
Yes, create interconnected, jurisdiction-specific, plain language articles with FAQ sections. You need to sit down and turn the 20 most common questions your clients ask you in a consultation into 20 dedicated pages on your site.
And step three is ensuring that once the AI reads that content, it can verify your existence elsewhere, strengthening the footprint.
Complete all directory listings and the Google Business Profile accurately. You had to remove the conflicting witnesses from your digital alibi. It's tedious administrative work, but it is non-negotiable.
Which naturally flows into step four, generating reviews.
Implement that genuine follow-up system. Build a standard operating procedure where, at the successful conclusion of a matter, an automated but personalized email goes out, inviting the client to share their experience.
And the final step is perhaps the most difficult for attorneys who are used to immediate action and immediate results.
Step five is, be patient. This is not a paid Google ad campaign where you input your credit card on Monday and the phone rings on Tuesday. AI search visibility compounds. It takes 6 to 12 months of consistent, disciplined work to see the compounding results.
It really requires a shift in mindset. You are building digital infrastructure, not running a short-term promotion.
That is the perfect way to frame it. To bring all of this together for you listening, that competitor showing up in the AI search instead of you, they are actually your problem.
Right, they are just a symptom of your firm's visibility gap.
Precisely. The article talks about this concept of the invisible excellence problem, and I think it perfectly captures the tragedy of what so many brilliant lawyers are facing right now.
You might honestly be the best lawyer in your city.
You might be a terror in the courtroom. You might negotiate the highest settlements. But if your digital anatomy is weak missing content, a thin footprint, old reviews, you are entirely invisible to the AI. And as more users rely on these tools, if you are invisible to the AI, you're increasingly invisible to the market.
The AI just cannot recommend excellence. It cannot mathematically verify.
You have to start auditing your firm today and treat this as a long-term investment. But as we wrap up this deep dive, there is one final larger implication to all of this that I think is really worth mulling over.
Yeah, if we pull back and look at the macro shift in how information is retrieved, it raises a deeply provocative question for the legal industry.
It really does. Because if AI search models are constantly updating and relying heavily on recent reviews and new jurisdictional content to predict who the best attorney is, What happened to the massive legacy law firms?
The titans of the industry.
Exactly. Imagine a 50-year-old firm that relies almost entirely on its traditional real-world prestige, the corner office downtown, the country club connections, the decades of quiet word-of-mouth referrals.
Right. What if they just rest on their laurels?
If that firm stops producing new, verifiable digital signals, what is their future? Will the AI eventually render their decades of hard-won, real-world reputation completely invisible to the next generation of clients?
The ones who solely use AI to find representation.
Yes. Will the algorithm simply forget them? It is a fascinating and, frankly, terrifying thought to leave you with. Your real-world legacy will not translate to an AI unless you actively, mathematically translate it for them. You have to build the bridge.
And that bridge takes time to build.
It sure does. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Start your audit today, build your digital depth, and we'll see you next time.